Here we go. Are you ready? I know I am. This message today is going to speak to every one of you in a clear and powerful way. I want you to wait to the end of our time together because I cannot wait to get this new resource in your hand. I'm already hearing so much about it. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but the book of Acts doesn't really have a close to it, doesn't have an end. If you read any other book in the New Testament, it has its benediction, its closing statements. But the book of Acts, many believe that the last chapter was kind of lost. How did it end? That's not what happened. The book of Acts never ended. The story continues, not just with the early apostles, not just with the early church, not just with generations that preceded us, but the story is being continued with you and with me. And this book shows you how you can be a part of that story. So at the end of our time together, we'll show you how to get that. Hey, let's get to today's message. I'll see you in a minute. Mark chapter 10 and verse 9. Therefore, what God has joined, everybody say joined, together, let no one separate. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. I want to give you five keys before you say, I do. These are five must-haves before you say, I do. The key to that verse is what God has joined. What God has joined. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, you have the genealogy of Jesus. And in the genealogy, it's listing so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it gets to King David, whose son was Solomon. And then it mentions Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. So we would know that after David killed Uriah, he married Bathsheba. But yet 2,000 years later, when the author of the New Testament is being breathed on by the Holy Spirit to talk about who Bathsheba's husband is, God passes by King David and still makes it clear was the wife of Uriah, which means you can have a marriage on earth that is not recognized in heaven. What God has joined. Not a legal document, not a ceremony. Did you do it God's way? Did you do it according to God's word? Well, that's old school. Well, what source of authority are you coming from? The way I feel or the current trend? Well, I'm just going to help you out real quick. You can go back through the scripture and all those same trends, all those same cultural phenomenons have all been around forever, all the same emotional feelings, and they all ended the same way. In some level of failure, in some level of hurting the future generations. And so what God has joined, what has God joined together? If you were to do an autopsy on the marriages that have ended in divorce, and the death of those marriages. Not in all cases, but in most cases, what you would see is a relationship that God didn't join together. Lust joined it, control, manipulation, deception, some other type of thing, some other type of need, some other type of unmet expectation where we thought we could get that from someone else was pursued, and that joined it together, but God was not present in the joining. And so I want to discuss with you what you do, not after you say I do, but what are some things you should do before you say I do. And so it is going to get uncomfortable if it's not already. Because most of us are, even if we're single, we're looking, or we're maybe even kind of in a dating relationship, or we're curious about someone, or maybe we're coming out of a dating relationship. And so you probably know that your relationships are about to be put under a microscope during this message, and they're probably going to be tested. And so whether you want to look at it today or not, whether you like this or not, or whether you're going to be comfortable with what I'm saying, at some point, the relationship will be put under the microscope, whether it's in this service or in your future. The tests are going to come. Kids are going to come. Financial problems are going to come. The undealt with issues in your past are going to find a way to come back up to the surface. or you're going to make it through all kinds of things, push it all the way down and get all the way to the empty nester phase, then the microscope's going to come out, and then the relationship is going to be tested. So I would rather you be uncomfortable today than face painful failure in the future. And so real clear up front, let's be as point blank as we can be. When you choose to spend the rest of your life with another person, that is a big deal. Outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the relationship that doesn't just last in this life, but it determines where you'll spend eternity. Outside of that relationship, the most important relationship choice you will ever make will be who your husband or who your wife will be. It does not get any more important than that. And so let's go through five must-haves before you say I do. Number one is chemistry, where something beyond you is beginning to happen. There's a spark. There's a drawing to that person. And it's important that you have chemistry. It's important that you have a spark. However, it is first not because it's most important in this sermon. It's first because it's least important. Most of our regrets come because you overvalue chemistry. So it's the first thing, but it's not the whole thing. You can have chemistry with a lot of people every single day. Every single day you can have chemistry with somebody. Matter of fact, you can have chemistry with multiple people in the same day. So chemistry is important, but it's not the most important. You want to have physical attraction. You want to have a mutual interest. You want to have some type of intellectual stimulation. But be aware that God is not the only chemist. He created the elements. He created the molecules. He did all of that. But the devil has a chemistry set too. How many of y'all remember the chemistry sets growing up? Anybody besides me ever have a chemistry set? And for a little bit, you'll put this little thing and this little thing together in the little test tubes, and you put the little flame on, and you'll ooh, and you'll ah, and it'll be awesome. But you hear all kinds of nightmare stories about, before you know it, something blew up in some kid's face, right? Because they underestimated, just because there's chemistry, just because there's a wow, just because there's a whoa, just because it's impressive. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, the devil can make that thing blow up in your face. So chemistry is important. You must have chemistry, but you must have more than chemistry. Number two, you must have connection. It's a draw into something deeper. This is when I like what I see through their eyes. It's when they like what they see when they look through my eyes. Connection is I like who I am when I'm in their presence, and I like who I am when I leave their presence. Because in every relationship, there is some level of exchange. And sometimes we find ourselves connected to people we would never want to be. So no matter how powerful a connection is, you have to still evaluate, is that connection heaven sent or is it hell sent? Because I might want to be one thing, and they want to be the opposite of that thing in character, in nature, in dreams, and the approach to life. And what happens when I connect with someone that wants the opposite of what I want in life, they become poison to my destiny and my future. And then I get into the relationship and wonder, how did I possibly get here? It's because you wanted chemistry. Chemistry was strong. All the fireworks were there, but you did not have something deeper in connection. So you must have chemistry, but you must have more than chemistry. You must have connection. Think about your connection stories in your life, how you met someone, where you met them, what the connection was like. Think about the beginning of that. Now look out from that moment, who the circles were, who the people were around that, who your friends were, what the environment was. Because one of the things I taught my girls growing up is the most important thing you can do if you have chemistry, if you feel a spark with somebody, is to look at their social circles, who they hang out with, what their friends are like. How do they connect with the same sex? How do they connect with the opposite sex? And you can learn a lot about a person by watching their social circles, who they're drawn to, where they're drawn to. And then even inside of social circles, healthy social circles usually have some type of leadership, usually have some type of authority. If they're always pushing back on accountability, if they're always pushing back on awareness of themselves and awareness of what's going on around them, in other words, if they think the world orbits around them and they don't care who they destroy around them, that is a sign of someone you should be cautious if you really want to take the next step. You might have all the chemistry in the world, but connection matters as well. Number three is wholeness. The Bible here said, let no man separate. Remember the biblical account of the 10 lepers. Jesus, he heals them. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And then the one returns and says, thank you. And Jesus says, where's the other nine? He says, I don't know. And Jesus says to him, your faith has made you whole. So a very consistent interpretation of that text is there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. So we see here that there are nine who are looking to fix their problems, nine who wanted this God thing so they could, you know, maybe heal from a particular issue in their life, maybe be restored of some type of infirmity in their life. But there was one who had to separate from the whole group because the nine, though they got healed, were never made whole. They never pursued something greater than just physical healing. They were never made whole, body, soul, and spirit. And because they were not healthy, he had to separate from the unhealthy to be made whole. So what you'll find is the healthier you are, the more unhealthy people will pull away from you. Because what does health look like? I have boundaries. I have standards. I have convictions. I know who I am, whether you're in my life or not. And so when you get healthy, it's very difficult to connect because a lot of people, many times the majority, let's say 90% of people, are approaching life even with God in unhealthy ways. And so it's going to be lonely. Right? The one is what it says. The one got with God. He just said, man, listen, I don't know about people, but I'm going to get with God and do what I can do to be healthy. This is where you say my private battles matter. My private victories matter. Getting wholeness in my own heart is important whether I'm accepted by the group or not. But what we do is we look for affirmation by are the dominant people cheering us on? Who's our little circle? And I pastored for a long time. If there's someone unhealthy over here, and there's someone unhealthy over here, they don't even have to know each other. Give them a few weeks in church, and they just find each other. Because like attracts like. Spirit attracts spirit. Birds of the same feather flock together. It's a magnet. So if you're going to be healthy, you're going to have to learn that most of the time, all the unhealthy people that are saying the whole world's on a fire are just in their own little dumpster fire. And every now and then, you just got to take out the trash and make a decision. Listen, I can't pay no attention to that. I'm on a path of gratefulness, and I desire wholeness in my life. Because if you're in a relationship with someone who isn't whole or healthy and you desire to be, in your effort to be healthy, they will feel like you're pulling away from them. And the truth is, you becoming healthy is not only the best thing for you, it's the best thing for them, and it's the best thing for the relationship. So both people need a sense of being drawn to wanting to get healthy. And if you don't get it before you get married, trust me, you're going to have to get it after. And I'm talking from experience. You say, well, if you did it, I can do it. You can do it however you want to do it. I'm saying if you'll do some things up front to get healthy, to get whole,
whole and the other person that you're desiring gets healthy and whole, then it's a whole lot easier to get healthy and whole on your own than it is to try to fight through it when you're in a marriage and you got kids and you got bills and all the accounts are tied together and all the stuff is intertwined. It's a whole lot harder then than it is before. So you have to make the decision, I'm not going to discount who I am to make you feel better about the areas you're being cheap. If you're single, you need to look at the crowd around you and realize there's no cheap or easy way to become whole. It will cost you. There is a price to it. And you got to look at the people who don't desire that and be clear, if you want cheap and easy, you're not going to find it here. You're going to have to find it somewhere else. Because I see greatness in my future. I see a desire for God to do big things in my future. And I'm willing to pay the price for it. I want to know, are you willing to pay the price for it? So wholeness comes after connection for a reason. Connection has to be qualified. Because many times what we call love isn't love. It's codependency masquerading as love. It's not love. I need from another person something I didn't get in my childhood. It's like an incomplete circle I'm hoping to complete. And because I couldn't resolve, it's like being in the middle of the movie during the part that nothing's resolved, or maybe everything's full of fear or everything's full of pain, and you just turn the movie off. There's just something about it that was never resolved. And what codependency does is it says, I wasn't able to save or fix a situation in my childhood, so now as I get older, I start looking for that in someone else, how I can save and fix them. That's not love, that's codependency. And I'm not here to be a psychologist or a counselor, but I have learned you can't ignore pain. You can act like it's not there, just like you can act like there's not the drum set behind me. Look at me, not the drum set. Now for about the next 2 minutes of my sermon, you know what you're going to be thinking about? The drum set. Because pain has a way of drawing your focus into it. And so the pre-marriage litmus test is, can I say with sincerity, I'm good all by myself? Is what's drawing me to this person godly and healthy? Or is it the brokenness that somewhere along life's road was created, and now there's this big vacuum I'm trying to fill with this person or that person? So you get to this place where you say, I need to be made whole. I need wholeness. If I never find Mr. Right, if I never meet my soulmate, if lightning never strikes in my life, if I never find my Romeo or my Juliet, me and Jesus are good. I hope to find someone. I like to find someone. However, I'm not defined by a label called marriage. I'm good all by myself. This is why the Bible says the most important relationship is first vertical. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you can love your neighbor, those closest to you, as you love yourself. But the vertical is first. And once you connect vertically with God, you start to learn how to love yourself, appreciate yourself, care for yourself. And out of that, there's an overflow. You can love other people. And so when you come to God and you say, you healed me, you mended me, you took the broken pieces of my life and you put them back together and you made me whole, God, why did you do that? You didn't do that so I could forsake that and go looking for someone else to complete me. No, I'm complete and whole in who I am in you. And now when I go out looking for people in life, it's not to complete me, it's so I can compliment them and they can compliment me. They can add that little extra cherry on top to my life and I can add the extra cherry on top to their life. They're not the meat and potatoes. That's my relationship with God. That's where I get health. That's where I get nurtured. That's where I get strong. And out of that, I get it in someone else. Number four, divine confirmation. This is where God endorses your relationship. The word join means caused to be one. Notice the wording, therefore, or one translation says, if God joins together. If. Which means someone or something else might be causing the joining. If. If. God can bring someone together with another person. God can appoint that relationship. God can anoint that relationship. But you have to know there's also other things that could be bringing the joining. And if you break this major law of divine confirmation, you'll learn that you can be joined to somebody, but it is illegal. It is not endorsed by God. Can you survive if you break the law of divine confirmation? Yes. Can you thrive? No. You have to seek God. You have to believe that heaven's going to back it up. And you have to ask yourself a bigger question if you're single. Why would you ever want someone who God did not bring into your life and join you with in the first place? So you have to ask yourself, is this person someone that God has brought into my life? You want to know who the sender is. Is God the sender? Or is the devil the sender? Why? I've said this next phrase more than any other phrase I've probably ever said in pastoring all these years. The reason you want to know who the sender is because if the devil wants to destroy your life, he sends a person. If God wants to bless your life, he sends a person. So divine confirmation is God the sender. And this is tricky because we want something so bad many times that we're willing to create and manufacture divine confirmation because that's the thing that shuts everybody up. God told me to do this. So what do you want to do? If you're in a relationship and it's beginning to get serious, find a peaceful place. Maybe it'll be hours. Maybe it'll be days if you can make that happen. It's just you, a journal, a Bible, maybe some worship music, maybe a peaceful place that brings you a sense of who you are. And in that place, you'll find a moment of peace. And ask God at that moment, did you send this person? I'm not saying the person is evil. I'm not saying the person is bad. I'm saying you want to know, did God send them? And the reason this is so difficult is because sometimes there's so much emotion in it that it hinders what God is trying to say to us. So we have to pull away, find a peaceful place, and hear from God. And this is my promise to you. God is not greedy with confirmation. He will let you know. But he's not going to stop you from pushing through 18,000 stop signs and a trillion red flags because you want to force something. And you say, but it's taken too long. It's taken too long. Everybody else has got it. Everybody else is moving forward. Hey, listen, we're talking about your whole life, and slow is fast when it comes to the most important decisions.
I don't know what part of that message spoke to you. I know with me many times with the message, the Holy Spirit will zero in on one particular thought and begin to speak to me in such a powerful way. I'm believing that that happened to you as well. God's so faithful to his word and to speak to us through it. And I'm trusting that that happened. Maybe you're in a place where you're not right with God. You're far from God. You're distant from him. And you're in a place where the Holy Spirit's saying, it's time to get right. It's time to surrender all to him. If that's the case, just right where you're at. Don't have to be complicated. Just with your own words, I want to lead you in a prayer and just right where you're at. Just say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross, that you rose again from the dead so I could have a new beginning. I give you my life. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, or you want to go further in that prayer, and you just need someone to walk with you a little bit further, there's a number on the screen. There's a website that you can go and get all kinds of free resources as well that'll just help you in your walk with God. This is just a small step in the right direction. Let us help you. Let us pray with you. Or maybe you're out there and you need healing or strength, or you're facing a trial or a struggle. A major answer
to so many of the things that we're going through is not going through it alone, letting someone else join their faith and praying with us, and we're believing that you're going to overcome and conquer those things. Hey, at the beginning of our broadcast, I mentioned this new resource that we're trying to get to any of you that are out there that desire to go further in your walk with God. I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but in the book of Acts, it doesn't have an ending. It doesn't have a close to it. Many people believe the ending was lost somehow, but we know differently. We know that the story of Acts is being continued, that the story lives on, not just through the early apostles or the early church, but it lives on through us. And we want to show you how to continue the story. The things you read about in the book of Acts, we believe are available to you as well. And so call us, get with us, do what you have to do to get this resource for the best gift of any amount. And that best gift helps us do three primary things here. The first thing it helps us do is we get to preach the gospel to over 200 nations around the world. We have a team here that prays with people, that takes unique situations that people are going through, and we help them. And a big part of what we do is not just preaching the gospel, but making sure we come alongside of the hundreds and hundreds of you that reach out to us for prayer and for help and for resources. And that's the second thing we all always do. We're trying to find unique ways to put resources in your hands so you can grow in your walk with God. We know there's something powerful about taking that next step, and it's a way that we can serve you in your walk with God and serve really hundreds of thousands of others as well. And finally, as many of you know, we're brand new to the TBN family, and we're so excited to announce Heart the World. Heart the World is our initiative to begin to reach some of the most godless, unreached places of our planet. We've got some initiatives that we're working on in Pakistan, building community centers in the slums for children so they can get an education, so they can get meals and different things. We're going to be talking with you about that. In Indochina, we're planting churches in some of the most God-forsaken places, and we're needing your help. We want to continue to preach the gospel, provide resources, but we also want to heart the world, love the world, go into all the world is what Jesus said, and preach the gospel. And with your help, we can do that. Again, thank you for reaching out. Thanks for hanging out with us every week. It's been a huge blessing to us to hear from you. And until next week.